Appreciate that tonight. Appreciate the Lord. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. Amen. Don't believe it'll be real long. If you got your Bibles, open up the book of 2 Chronicles tonight. Just want to obey the Lord. I was praying the other day and got done, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about some things. And I got to thinking about everything over the years. Well, not everything. Amen. We ain't got that much time, but I got to think about a lot of things over years and how we've seen God work in many lives, in my life. Amen. And got to thinking about the prayers that God has answered. Amen. And I got to thinking about what prayer can do. Amen. I believe with all my heart, amen, as the children of God, we're missing out on a lot. Missing out on a lot because most, amen, it's got to be most or this country wouldn't be in the shape she's in. Most children of God do not have a very strong prayer life. Is everybody okay? And we're going to miss out on a lot of things if we don't have a strong prayer life. Amen right there. There's things that prayer does. I mean, buddy, it unlocks doors. Somebody say amen. Amen. Prayer brings about healing. Prayer strengthens that which is weak. Somebody say amen. It encourages that, amen, that's discouraged. And if our prayer life is weak, amen, we're going to be a weak Christian. There's no way around it. And I'm not up scolding anybody. What I would like to do is encourage you tonight, if you do not have a strong prayer life, is to get one. Because in the day in which we live, it is of the utmost importance in the child of God. One of the most important things you'll have is a prayer life. Time alone with God. More often than not, amen, people miss it. They get busy thinking about what they have to do. And the only thing you really need to do, amen, is get alone with God somewhere. Hey, it'll give you a sound mind. Amen. Are you hearing me? I'm saying a good prayer life will give you a sound mind. Amen. It'll keep you faithful. It'll give you courage in the face of fears. Everybody all right? Amen. It'll allow you to stand when you've lost all ability within yourself. So in 2 Chronicles, and I know it's very familiar, and I've got several places marked, amen, we'll be going to. And like I said, I don't believe we'll be real long. Amen. We just do a lot of talking and teaching. But boy, I tell you what, I want to encourage you tonight, child of God. Amen. If half the church, I'm talking about half the church in America, if half the church, half the people that say they're saved, had the kind of prayer life they should have, this country wouldn't be in the shape she's in. I'm telling you. But the God that we serve, the only God, the true and living God, amen, He is bound by the Word of God and His Word to hear our prayers and to answer them. If we've got the right attitude and the right prayer life. Amen. Now, you can't go to Him commanding He do this and that like some of them wackos want to tell you can. But I'm going to show you some things, just a couple of things in the Word of God. Amen. It'll help you get started. It'll encourage you. Anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I'll just start reading in verse number 12. Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Amen. You won't see God working in your life. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have a prayer life. After he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, God showed up. Somebody say amen. Maybe God's not showing up in some people's situation because they're not praying like they should. Maybe they're praying like they should now, but over the past several years they haven't been. God just might be wanting to see if you're going to stay faithful. But after he prayed and prayed, God showed up. Somebody say amen. I mean, buddy, we whine because God don't show up right now. Huh? But boy, we hadn't prayed and prayed and really sought the Lord about anything until trouble comes. Is everybody all right? Amen. We need to be praying to God while everything's going good. Amen. We need to be praying to God while everything's great at home. While the family's still together. Is everybody okay? Amen. While the church is still blooming and prospering, we need to be praying to God right then. But most of the time, people put Him on the back burner when everything's going good. When everything's going great. Amen. They'd rather be somewhere else down at the house of God. But buddy, you let sickness strike a loved one, a spouse. Somebody say a child, a grandchild. Watch how quick they come running to the church. Is everybody all right? But here he is. Now listen. The Lord appeared to him at night, said, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now you listen to this. God's speaking here. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Is everybody listening? Or if I send pestilence among my people. What's that? Disease and sickness and plagues and is everybody all right? And pandemics. Is everybody okay? He said, God said, if I send these things. Amen. And we already know that in the last days these things are going to be coming. Everything we're seeing is telling us we're living in the last days. Everything we see right now going on in this world. I'm telling you right now, I ain't never seen so many people that could jump on something so wrong as the things they're jumping on and agreeing with in this world today. I mean, things that was wrong before I was born. Things that was wrong ever since I've been born. Things that's been wrong ever since I've been an adult. They're still wrong today. And I don't care how many people agree with it, it's still wrong. You know, I just wish to God some of these people that was jumping up and down screaming, everybody ought to have an abortion. Why in the world their mama didn't abort them? We wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. Oh, no, y'all didn't like that, did you? Hey, I'm telling you, I wish to God some of them's mama would have started with them. Is everybody all right? Amen. All it is murder. And I don't care what nobody thinks. Amen. Problem is, people don't want to just say the truth anymore. Amen. They want to get mad because I tell them what's right, and they'll jump on a lie. But God says, if all these things are coming on this land and on my people, listen to what he said. Verse number 14. If my people. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to them. Amen. That wacko senator we got said he was a pro-choice pastor. There's no such thing. Is everybody all right? Now, I don't mean to get political. I'm telling you now. There's no such thing as a pro-choice pastor. There's a pro-choice hireling. Is everybody okay? Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you what's right. That ain't no way. Ain't no stinking way. Amen. That man could have the same call on his life that I got on my life, serving the same God that I'm serving, and be pro-choice. And I don't care if you don't like it. And I don't care who don't like it. That's just the facts. Amen goes right there. He said, if my people, he's talking to the church. He's talking to those who are saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's talking to those that believe in God. Amen. That read their Bible and know what it says. He said, if my people, he didn't say if the world. He didn't say if the United States government, somebody say amen. He didn't say if the Supreme Court, which can't even determine what a woman is. Is everybody all right? Amen. Wonder how she's going to say a woman has choice when she don't even know what one is. Is everybody okay? My choice, my body, except when they want to jab a needle in your arm. Is everybody okay? And then it ain't your choice anymore. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay? Amen. They just flip-flop on everything. That's what the world does. not where the church should be. Amen. So he says, if my people, when we're looking out here and we're seeing all this stuff going on in the world today, God says, if my people which are called by my name, here it is, shall humble themselves. Problem with a lot of the church folks is they just got too much pride. How can you tell if somebody's full of pride? I can tell you one way you can tell. When they're wrong, they won't admit it. Is everybody okay? When they're wrong, amen, and you can show them in the Word of God they're wrong, and they refuse to admit it, they're not humble. They're eat up with pride. Self-righteousness. Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? He said, if my people would humble themselves, amen, we got to get rid of our pride. Is everybody okay? If the Bible says it's right, it's right. And it doesn't matter what I think, what I want. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter what I think or what I want. I need to side with the Scripture every time. See, but if I've got pride in my life, here's what they'll normally say. Something about like this, Brother Allen. I know the Bible says that, but... And then they'll offer an excuse why it don't apply to them. Or why they don't have to live like that. Or why that ain't really what it means. I'm sorry, it's spiritually discerned. Are you spiritually ignorant? Come on. He said, if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. And pray. You're not going to get very much accomplished with God if you don't pray. If you do not have a prayer life, and I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. If you do not have a prayer life, we're not going to get very far with God. Amen? You're going to do a lot of struggling in your life. And if you get a prayer life, you'll struggle. But let me tell you what, amen, you'll come through them. Those without prayer lives, usually they start struggling a little bit, and they just quit. They throw their hands up. Is everybody all right? It's because they don't have a prayer life. So he says, listen, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face. Amen. We've got to seek God in things, in decisions that we make. Amen. Not only do we seek God in decisions we make, we seek God on behalf of others. We pray ye one for another. In praying for your brother or your sister in Christ, you will get your healing. And I don't necessarily think he's so much talking about a physical healing. Is everybody all right? When you pray for that one that's struggling, that one that's wobbling, that one that's falling by the wayside, see, God will strengthen you and heal you, amen, so that you can be faithful and you can serve and worship Him spiritually. Is everybody okay? So here he's saying, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We have to seek the face of God. We have to pray one for another. He said, and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Amen. When the church is more interested in what's going on in the world and doing the things of the world than they are coming to the house of God and getting alone with God and praying, that's why we're in the mess we're in. The devil knows, amen, he'll offer you so much stuff. He'll offer you all this fun, amen, and it's just pulling people out of the house of God, pulling people away from church. Are you hearing me? Amen, I'm not talking about vacations. I'm not even talking about playing some things, amen, doing some other things occasionally. Is everybody all right? Amen, I realize people have a life, amen, but your life should resonate around the church. Should involve the church. The church should be a very important part of your life. Are you hearing me? If they would pray, if they had turned from their wicked ways. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. That's going on in the world today and in the church today is what God calls wicked and what we define as wicked is two different things. Oh, yeah. See, anything that'll come between you and serving God has become a god in your life. It could be a sport. Are you hearing me? It could be an individual that becomes more important to you. Are you hearing me? That you would do anything for, amen, and they're between you and God. You be real careful when you allow that to happen. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your spouse, a brother, a sister. The best thing you can do, the best thing you can do for your lost family members, the best thing you can do for your backslid family members is get as close to God as you can so you can intercede on their behalf. That's the best. Putting them between you and God's the worst thing you can do. Is everybody okay? If they'd pray and see, what we call wicked and what God's saying is wicked. See, it's different. There's different definitions. Amen. And we like to choose our way of thinking. See, as His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. And so listen to this. I got to move on. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, nothing between, when you get to a place where nothing's between you and God now, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a promise that we have as the children of God, as the church in 2022 in America. We have a promise. If the children of God, the church in America, would do this verse right here, God said, I will heal your land. Is everybody all right? Heard a fellow try to say, amen, he's talking about Israel. He said their land. He's talking about his land. Amen, he said their land. My people, we're his people. Amen, it's no longer a Jew after the circumcision of the flesh. We are Jews after the circumcision of the heart. I am his people. You are his people if you've been born again, washed in the blood. We are Jews, amen, by the circumcision of the heart. That's what makes a Jew in 2022. People don't like to hear that, but it's a fact. Who are His chosen people? Amen, those who choose Christ now. Is everybody okay? I'm not saying He's going to throw the Jews, the Israelites away. Is everybody all right? But you better be real careful, amen. They're going to have to get it the same way I got it, Brother Matt Cagle. They're going to have to go through the blood. If they don't go through the blood, they're going to hell. And I don't care if they're born in Jerusalem. Is everybody all right? Because if they could have been born right smack dab in the middle of Jerusalem, but if they wasn't born in the blood of Jesus Christ, they're lost and on their way to hell. Period. Is everybody okay? So here's what we got to do. We got to get us a prayer life. Amen. He said, listen now. Now mine eyes, verse 15, shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, house of God, the church. Amen. I still believe you ought to honor the building. I know the building ain't the church. Amen. But this is holy grounds. Everybody all right? Amen. I still think we ought to respect it. Amen. When we come to the house of God, is everybody okay? That's right. Amen. I believe we ought to honor it with our presence. Is everybody okay? Somebody says, what happens when they get off work? Hey, the best place they can do is just come to the house of God. Is everybody all right? Amen. Might not be dressed like they are on Sunday morning, but that's okay. Man, I take it to churches that are so tied up on what somebody's wearing on the outside, and the inside's full of dead man bones, and they're on their way to hell. They don't care as long as they dress right. Is everybody okay? Amen. I believe we ought to honor this place. Amen. I believe our attitude when we come to the house of God ought to be right with one another and right with Him. Amen. That's more important than anything somebody's wearing. Is everybody all right? Amen. I believe you ought to keep yourself covered up, men and women. Amen. Is everybody okay? We're living in a day and a time when you can't even hardly tell them apart. Hey, men and the men dress so a whole lot worse than a lot of girls would do. Is everybody okay? Everybody all right? Amen. That's right. Wearing their little Speedos, their little tank tops, and the muscle shirts, trying to show everything they got off. Amen. Let me tell you something, man. Hey, my wife's got all she needs right here. She don't need to see nothing you got. Amen. Is everybody all right? Amen. That's right. Amen goes right there. He said, I've chosen and sanctified this, the church, the building, this place, this house, that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. God's a looking down, and He's a listening for the prayer that's made in this place. Amen. I want you to go to the book of James. You can't talk really about having a prayer life and praying until you get over here and really read this. James chapter 5. I'm rushing. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I don't even like to say I'm rushing anymore. I don't want nothing to do with Putin. That's a wicked man. He's a wicked man. Amen. I hope God strikes him down. Amen. I hope God confounds the Russian army. I hope He allows, amen, that little old place over there, amen, to whoop them and send them back running, packing. Is everybody okay? Amen. And America ain't going to get nothing out of it because our fearless leader wouldn't do nothing. We could have stopped that before it ever happened. Unbelievable. And they said Trump colluded with Russia. Are you hearing me? Unbelievable. James chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading verse number 13 because this is important. Amen. Prayer bring healing. It'll bring healing to your body physically. It'll bring healing to your body mentally. It'll give you a sound mind. Is everybody all right? You can have healing to your body physically and spiritually. Amen. Amen. Now listen to this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. Prayer. And the prayer, verse number 15, of faith shall save the sick. Listen to this. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's promises right there about prayer. Amen. The prayer of faith. Amen. You can have your sins forgiven you, amen, through obedience to the Word of God right here. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Is everybody all right? That's only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But according to this scripture right here, amen, if you're sick and you call on the elders of the church and their mind's in the right place, they ain't trying to make a name for themselves. Everybody all right? Say, look what I done. Amen. They do it in obedience to the Word of God. There ain't no healing in that bottle. Is everybody all right? It's in obedience to this. Amen. They'll pray over that individual and God so chooses. Amen. To reach down and touch them and heal them and lift them up. He'll forgive their sins. Amen. Now they probably won't be gone long because they'll get back out there and mess themselves up again real quick most of the time. But listen to this. Verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Here it is. That ye may be healed. Hello. Amen. You need a spiritual healing tonight. Get you a prayer life. Amen. And make it more about others than it is about you. Is everybody okay? Oh, it's okay to pray for yourself. Oh, yeah. But you know what you ought to do? Sometimes instead of praying for yourself first, you ought to pray for yourself last. You ought to pray for everybody else. You ought to pray for your church. Is everybody okay? You ought to pray for your deacons. Come on now. You ought to pray for your preacher. Is everybody all right? You ought to pray for your Sunday school teachers. Come on now. You ought to pray for that one that's struggling and don't have come, that God will get a hold of them, amen, and stir them up by way of remembrance that they may have a desire to come back to the house. Hey, you ought to pray for everybody else first.
Amen.
See what God might do in your life. Because listen to what he said. Let's finish out that verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's going to accomplish a lot when we're in the right mind. Now listen to this. Elias was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, But when thou prayest, and this is what I want to get to, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, this is what Jesus is saying now. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. You want some rewards? I hear a lot of preachers, Brother Allen, preach about the rewards they're going to get on the other side, and that's good. But I'd rather have some rewards down here before I get there. And there's a place I read, Jesse Busby, where Jesus says, the Father, the God of glory, the speaker of worlds, are you hearing me? Amen. The one that speaks out light will reward me. Will reward me. He will reward you if I have a secret place that I get along with God and I shut the... What's that mean? I shut the world out for a while. I get alone. Amen. I get by myself. Just me and the Lord. I have no distractions. There's nobody around. There's nobody that can contact me. There's no TV. There's no cell phone. There's no children. There's a secret place in my life that's just got me and God. And I call out to Him. And the Bible said, Jesus Christ said in red, that I can be rewarded by the Father.
Amen.
In this life. In this life. If I have a prayer life. If you have... You want to know why a lot of people ain't getting rewards? They ain't got no prayer life.
Amen.
Either the verse is right and true, or it's not.
Amen.
I can tell you things that just blow your mind that the Lord's have been showing me and been working in my life. I've been witnessing. Y'all have witnessed. Amen. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Things I pray, specific things. Amen. By myself, in secret, just me and the Lord. Just me and the Lord. Amen. You want to know why I jump and shout and holler? Amen. It's because I can't help it. Why? Because I believe with all my heart how the Lord's rewarding me, letting me feel His presence in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. You want some rewards in this life? Get you a prayer life. Get you a secret place. Get along with you and God and your King James Bible and get on your face before Him. And see. Don't wait till tragedy hits. Don't wait till things get so bad. Amen. Then you want God to fix it like that and you ain't talked to Him in months. It's more than God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. That's a cute little kid prayer.
Come on.
Ain't nothing wrong with it for the children.
Amen.
Amen. But if you've been saved, amen, very long at all, and you're still praying that prayer, you don't have a prayer life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not talking about getting out in public. Amen. And standing on the corners. Is everybody all right wanting to be seen?
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody said something to me the other day. We went to that meeting up there. And I said, boy, he got you up on the stage. I said, yes, and I really don't like that. I don't like being put out, amen, as a spectacle. I don't worship God like that, the way I worship God, to be put out in front of nobody for people to watch. And so I just do it because that's how I am. He's good. I love him. Amen. I'm going to worship him like that, whether I'm sitting up on a stage or whether I'm sitting on the back row. Is everybody all right? I will jump to my feet. I'll shout and holler amen when the preacher's preaching. If I'm sitting up on the front, amen. Or if I'm sitting in the back and any bench in the middle, amen. Why? Because, buddy, I can't help it. Well, the Spirit of God gets to tugging on my heart. Hey, you hearing me? Hey, you want to worship God and you want to feel Him like that? Get you a secret place. And what He sees in secret, He will reward you openly. You can have rewards from God the Father in this life. In this life. We're missing it. Our country's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Amen. And we've got no secret place. Our churches across the land, a lot of them are in a mess. And nobody on the pew has a secret place. Our families are falling apart. They're giving up on God. They're going to the world. And we don't have a secret place. Is everybody okay? If we want the blessings of God, the rewards, amen. There's rewards that come with a secret place. I wouldn't care what my wife thought. I wouldn't care what my husband thought. I'd ask God where He wants my secret place. I had one, amen, at the end of the hall in a closet for years. You can ask my wife and kids. I'd go down there, no heat, no air. Boy, in the summertime, that closet in there with that hot water heater and that little bitty table and that chair and my Bible and my concordance, amen, and my Noah Webster's dictionary, amen, just me and God. Are you hearing me? Just me and God. Then one day God said, hey, why don't you go down there to that church and pray? That's what I do. That's why I don't want nobody coming in. This is my secret place when I'm here alone with God. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
You got loved ones that's lost. You got children. Maybe I ain't got saved yet. And you don't have a secret place. If God told me to go home and clean out a closet, I wouldn't worry about it. Amen. I'd take the clothes out. I'd stack them up over in a corner somewhere. Is everybody all right? They'd get wrinkled. So what? You need a secret place. That right there, preachable. You need a secret place.
Amen.
Amen. When you get home from work and she comes in there and says, hey, I got to get to my secret place. Watch this one. Watch this one. Watch that one. Hey, take care of them for a while. I don't care if they're in there for 2 hours.
Amen.
Brother Tracy, I ain't ate yet. That's all right. Amen. You can probably go without a few meals.
Amen.
Is everybody all right? When you get done, and he says, hey, take care of them. I got to get to my secret place. Mama, you just keep on watching them. I don't care if you've been watching them all day. Is everybody all right? He needs a secret place too. And I don't care if he's in there for 2 hours. Is everybody all right? Oh, Brother Tracy, you're just talking crazy. Now, can't nobody pray. Ain't nobody going to be praying that long. Everybody, you know, we're just talking. What did Jesus say? Over in Matthew chapter number 26. Start reading in verse number 36. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said we need a secret place in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said we need a secret place where we can get alone with God. And He said, and what the Father sees in your life, amen, in secret,
amen,
in a secret place with Him, He'll reward you He'll reward you. He'll reward you. Might not nobody else know it. Might not nobody ever know you're praying for them. Somebody say amen. Hey, you got to put people on your heart. Amen. You'll pray for them and pray for them. They'll never know. They'll never know. And all of a sudden, you'll start seeing God working in their life. And maybe they start getting blessed beyond measure. And they'll never know. But you'll know. Amen. I've been praying for them. And God's a moving in their life. And what God saw you pray for in secret, now He's rewarding you openly. And maybe nobody else will shout. But you can shout over what God is doing in someone else's life. Are you hearing me? And Jesus said in chapter number 26, starting in verse number 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, thought it was important to pray, how much more important do you think we ought to think it is? Well, we ought to really consider who really taught us to pray and showed us the importance of prayer. Verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Listen to this. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, you wait right here, and watch with me." And he went a little further. See, Jesus knew the importance of a secret place where no one else was around. The disciples wouldn't have understood it. They wouldn't have been able to comprehend that kind of prayer. Could you imagine seeing our Lord pray and His sweat become as great drops of blood? Could you imagine the agony that He had, the burden that He had of the whole world, everyone's sin? Everyone's sin who was born from Adam and Eve, all the way through to mine and your sins right now, everyone between there, and everyone all the way to the ends of the earth, of the world. Ever sin. Could you imagine the pressure, the great pressure that Jesus Christ was under? Carrying that much of a burden and going just a little farther. He got to a secret place and he began to pray. He fell on his face. Bible says, verse number 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, even Jesus Christ recognized the sovereignty, the deity, and the will of the Father. Are you hearing me? Nevertheless, not as I will. Lord, it's not about my will. It's not about your will. It's about the Father's will in your life. And you'll never find it without a secret place. Never. You'll never get into it without a secret place. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep," which I am afraid is where the majority of the church is at today. They are asleep. They're here. Amen. They're here physically. Spiritually, the devil has sung them asleep. Sung them a lullaby. Got their minds somewhere else. Got their minds on wayward loved ones. And that's okay. Amen. But he's got their minds on their finances. Things is in a mess. Or he's got their mind on their job. They can't stand it. It's harder and harder. Is everybody all right? Got their mind on sickness. It's pandemic. Amen. We can't do nothing anymore. I mean, got their mind everywhere else except on Him. What is He saying? I'm saying that's where the majority, I believe, you got no statistics to prove all this. I believe a lot of folks in the church, a lot of saved folks, are asleep on God. Let me tell you how you can tell whether you either are asleep or very close to falling asleep. If you've got no secret place and you've got no time for God in your life to get alone, turn everything off, shut everything out. If you can't do that 3 or 4 times a week, friend, you're in serious trouble. You need to do it every day. You need to do it every day. But if you ain't doing it 3 or 4 times a week, you're in twilight land right about now. Might not be asleep yet. But you know that place you get. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I get there and my eyes are heavy. I'm laying on the pillow. It's quiet, except for my wife talking, and I can't even, and she's talking right next to me, Brother Billy, and I can't even tell you what she says. Has anybody ever been there? You're that close to asleep. You can hear the voice, but you don't know what the voice is saying. Is anybody there? Can I get a witness on that? Your eyes are closed. You're leaned back. You're in twilight land, boy. And if she'd just be quiet for about 2 minutes, right? That voice is the only thing keeping me. Y'all missing it. That voice is the only thing, Jesse Busby, that's keeping me from going completely off to sleep. Missed in twilight land. I can hear the voice, but I can't really tell you what she's saying. And I guess we get in more arguments because she'll say something and then she'll get a little louder. Are you listening to me? And I lie and I say, yeah, babe, I'm listening. What'd you say? I'm thinking about it. Hold on. Say it again so I can see how you... Now I'm the only one. I'm the only one. When what I really want to say is, are you listening to me? I'm trying not to. I'm trying to go to sleep. But you are disturbing my rest. And I think that's the answer that we give the Lord a lot. Lord, that voice is keeping us from just going on off to sleep. And he's trying to, and he gets a little louder every once in a while. He allows something to come our way and it jars us. Some of you men get ready to shout and holler. You're laying there and she gets quiet for just about 30 seconds. And you go. And you do this. You ever woke yourself up snoring? Somebody say amen right there. Somebody, have you ever woke yourself up snoring? Man, you're in twilight land. That voice has kept you awake longer than you wanted to be. Amen. Then all of a sudden it got real quiet. Hey, you sat there for about another 30 seconds and you're... Huh? What? What? Huh? he's admitting it. Amen. Hey, anybody? Me and Brother Darrell, the only one. Y'all a bunch of liars getting this altar and repent. Hey, some of you women need to get up in here and repent too. Y'all probably done it too. Amen. But that voice speaking to you, even tonight, somebody may have come in here in twilight land, almost asleep on God. The voice tonight spoke to you. And this is what he's saying. He came and he found them asleep. Verse number 40. And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Come on now. We don't have much time left. Church, we don't have much time left. What? If we are looking at the time on the world time that we have left, I believe, I could be wrong, but we'll never be able to know until that trumpet sounds. I believe we're living in the last hour of time. Amen. It doesn't mean in 60 minutes. Now you got to realize, see, with God, 1,000 days is one, right? But I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. Possibly the last hour of time. Could you not watch 1 hour? Could you not watch 1 hour, child of God? What happened here Sunday? Wasn't that a blessing? I don't know who all prayed. Amen. And I'm not going to ask for hands. But could you imagine? Could you imagine what God might do in this place if, say, 50% of us had the kind of prayer life that we should have? Could you imagine what God might do in this place if 50% of us got alone with God 3, 4, 5 times a week in a secret place and wept and prayed and begged and cried to God to come on Sunday and meet with us and save somebody, and God help America, and God move across Conyers and bring the lost, send out a light from Calvary and bring the lost into the church and pull them to the altar and get them saved. Boy, could you imagine what might happen if we had a secret place, church? If you had a secret place, Daddy. Listen to what he said. Jesus said this, verse 41. Watch and pray. Be alert. Be alert. Watch and pray. Be diligent. Be diligent about your prayer life. Watch and pray. Be consistent about your prayer life. But be careful. Amen. Because when you get one, it's easy to get one. But buddy, I'm telling you right now, the devil will fight you tooth and nail. Amen. To stop you from keeping one. He don't care if you get one. He just don't want you to keep it. Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. Right? But the flesh is weak. I would encourage you, child of God, to get you a secret place. Get you a secret place and you will see rewards. You'll be rewarded from the Father. That's only what the Bible says. You believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? I do. You believe that God give us promises in His Word and that God is faithful to keep those promises if we will do what He says to get them? And God says, God's Word in red, Jesus Christ said, when you pray, enter into the closet and shut the door behind you. And what your Father sees in secret. Are you hearing me? He said, you get in a secret place with God, and what He sees and hears from you in secret on a consistent basis, you hear me? He will reward you. He will reward you openly. What does that mean? It means you'll see it. You'll see the fruits of your prayers. You'll witness it. You might not, nobody else might not know it, but you'll know it. You'll know it. And you know what? You'll rejoice so much in the Lord, you won't care what anybody ever knows. Are you hearing me? Oh, we need a secret place. Somebody make their way to piano tonight. We need a secret place. And God's promised, if we'll get alone in that secret place, and we'll seek God like we should. Amen? And we'll watch and pray. Amen. I'm telling you, watch and pray. Somebody said, Brother Tracy, I prayed and I hadn't seen it yet. Just keep praying. Amen. Let me tell you when God really, really, really dealt with me about my prayer life. I thought I had one, Brother Darrell. I believe it was back in 2017 or 2016, one. Brother Tony Hudson was coming to preach in October. And it just so happens, October the 1st fell on a Monday. We had 2 weeks before Brother Tony was coming. And I challenged the church. Everybody had a key. Come down here sometime during the day in those 2 weeks, every day, and pray for the revival. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all do. For 2 weeks. Every day, I was down here praying for Brother Tony Hudson, praying for the revival, praying. For 2 weeks, every day. That's when God moved me out of the closet and brought me down here. Amen. Because after that, revival came. I won't never forget that first day I didn't come down here. I thought, man, you know, we've been prayed for 2 weeks. We've got, boy. And God said, why would you quit now? He said, I want you to continue praying every day. And boy, did the devil ever jump on me. He allowed the building to start back. My route got, I'm telling you, that thing got so big. And when they counted, it was the biggest one in Lawrenceville, Georgia. You can believe it or not, I don't care whether you believe it. My wife will tell you. And there were times I'd get off of work at 8, 9 o'clock at night. And have to come down here and pray. And I'd get home about midnight, 12:30. Have to get back up, be back at work the next morning. Are you hearing me? I ain't complaining. I'm just telling you. If you'll get you a secret place and you'll get you a prayer life, it ain't hard to get one. The hard part's keeping it going. Because the devil's going to fight you with everything he's got. Everything. And you've got to make up your mind if you want to see the rewards from God. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to get you a secret place. And you're going to get in there just you and God every day or three or four times a week. Whatever. Hey, you start it out. Don't just sit down there and say, well, I'm going to pray every day for 2-3 hours. It ain't going to happen. You just get in there and pray. You might not pray 10 minutes the first day. You might not pray 10 minutes for the first 6 months. Yeah. Every day. You just keep plugging along. Amen. Sooner or later, amen, you're just going to keep growing in the Lord. You're going to start seeing God move on things that you've been praying about. Because see, that consistency is what God's looking for in a prayer life. Amen. And God will answer your prayers. But you better get you a secret place. Could you imagine what might happen? This group here tonight, I guess we're probably about half the church maybe, got you a secret place somewhere every day. If you'd just try it for 6 months, no matter what come your way, for the next 6 months you're going to get along with God in a secret place. If you'd try that for 6 months, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at what you'd see God do in people's lives. And here at this church, you'd be amazed. He'll show you things and let you and give you rewards, and then you can't quit. Wait till you get to the place where you can't quit. No matter what the devil throws at you, just can't quit. I love you tonight. I appreciate you. I just want to encourage you tonight. Amen. You can receive rewards from the Lord.